Shalom Aleichem. For Parsha has told us we have 60 Vrei Torah. We are going to start towards the beginning of the Parsha, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Chafches. It says as follows, Ve'yehav Yitzchak es Esav Kitzayid Befiv. Yitzchak, his preference, his love was his son Esav for game. Food was in his mouth. V'rivka Oheves Yaakov. We're going to have to see what was in his mouth. And why is it that Yitzchak liked Esav, who was a Rasha, and why was Rivka the one who was more perceptive, and she loved Yaakov? A lot of questions on this. So, in fact, the Gaon Rav Nachman Maravshit says as follows, that Yitzchak, he was a very tamimistic person. He was very innocent. He was not a person who really understood the unfortunate evil that it can exist in the world. He was really separated from the world, and he said he was of the view. He just didn't understand that somebody could be a fraud. That concept didn't exist with Yitzchak Avinu. And accordingly, when his dear son, Esav, used to ask him questions like, should I take trumas maisras from the salt? Should I take maiser from the straw? That was, in Yitzchak's view, the questions of a tzaddik. Who would ask such questions? Who would be so strict about halacha to take masras from salt and straw? And it must be coming from a good place, because that concept of being a fraud and misrepresenting yourself and pretending to be something you're not, that did not exist when it came to Yitzchak. On the other hand, when it came to Rivka, she grew up with crooks. She grew up with frauds. Her own brother was Lavan. She knew exactly when somebody pretends to be something he's not. She knew exactly that you can ask questions to give off the appearance of being a tzaddik and being a rush at the same time. So she was able to see right through Esav's misrepresentations and fraud. And accordingly, she saw that the real thing was Yaakov Avinu. And now we can understand why Yitzchak, he loved Esav, because Esav gave off the appearance of being a tzaddik, but it was only Rivka, because of her upbringing, she had the correct perception of Esav being a fraud and Yaakov being the tzaddik. We are now moving forward to Perek Chafav, Pasuk Hey. This is our second vort, our second Vart Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Yitzchak and saying that there will be tremendous bracha for Klal Yisrael. They will multiply. They will be given Eretz Yisrael. Why? Ekev asher shama Avram bekoli, because Avram Avinu, he listened to my voice. Mishmar mishmarti, mitzvasai, chukosai v'sorayasai. He kept the Torah. He kept everything. Chukos, mishpatim, etc. That is the reason. So there's a Gemara in Yuma that says as follows, Kiyem Avram Avinu kol Torah achlo nitna. It's actually a famous Gemara that says that Avram Avinu kept the entire Torah even before Har Sinai. Kept the entire Torah. And then the comment that's a little bit cryptic here is, Afilu Erev Tavshilin, even the Erev Tavshilin. What's an Erev Tavshilin? So we know when Yantif falls, for example, on Friday. Let's say it's Thursday night, Friday, and we want to be able to cook on Yantif for Shabbos. We're going to need fresh food on Shabbos. So what we have to do is make an Erev Tavshilin on Thursday. Effectively, we're starting to cook, and the cooking is starting on Erev Yantif, so we're permitted to continue to cook on Yantif, which is Friday. So we're starting on Thursday. We'll be permitted to cook on Friday for Shabbos. So that's an Erev Tavshilin. So the question is, why would we say even an Erev Tavshilin? What does that have to do at all with the context of this pasuk? So in fact, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, says brilliantly, in fact, this is a mistake. What it really said in Chazal is not Afilu Erev Tavshilin, but it said Afilu, and it was a Rosh Tevos. It said Ayin Tav. And some people, whoever it was, could be the printer that opened up the Rosh Tevos, wrote in the belief that it meant Erev Tavshilin, but that was a mistake. It really meant Erev Tchumim. Erev Tchumim, what's that? So if somebody wants to travel outside of his city, if he's in a city, You're permitted by default to go up to 2,000 amos outside, but if you want to go longer than that, you can set up an Erev Tchumin to go a certain distance longer than that. It can be up to an additional 2,000 amos. It depends where it's set up and how it's set up. But the concept here is an Erev Tchumin is something that enables you to travel longer on a Shabbos that you wouldn't otherwise be permitted to travel. And says the Gra, the context of this pasuk makes sense that it's talking about an Erev Tchumim, because the first word in the pasuk is Akev. Akev refers to our heels. Heels is what we walk with. So apparently, the Chazal were saying that when it comes to a mitzvah that you walk, that you travel with, that would be that Avram Avinu kept all the mitzvahs, afilu ayin tav is Erev Tchumim, that he kept even the mitzvah of Erev Tchumim Akev, because he was walking, and that's the context of this pasuk. So he was strict to even be careful when it came to the Tchum of Shabbos, that he adhered to those requirements as well. Now we're going to Vort number 3. We're on Perek Chafav, Pasuk Chaf Beis. This is the quarrel that existed between Yitzhak shepherds and the shepherds in Gerar. They were disputing over wells, the water rights. That fight has continued until today in the Middle East. And quarrel number 1 was called Asek. The wells were called Asek, which is an argument. And number 2 is Sitna, which means hatred. And the pasuk says as follows: when it came to the third well, Vayachbor be'er acheres, it was the shepherds of Yitzhak, they dug another well, v'lo ravu alecha, and there was no quarrel over the third one between Yitzhak shepherds and the shepherds of Gerar. Vayikra shema rechovos, and they called him rechovos. What's rechovos? Wide, expansive. Vayomer ki ata hirchiv Hashem lano, Kadosh Baruch Hu has now given us ample space. He's also given us peace and tranquility. There's a famous Ramban that says that the first two wells that were dug, that they were fights over, Asek, quarrel, Sitna, got even worse, hatred between the respective shepherds. That represents the first two Bate Mikdash. The Bais Rishon was represented by Asek. The Bais Sheni was represented by Sitna. There was a lot of hatred, quarrels by the Ummah Sa'olam, and they were eventually destroyed by the non-Jews. It led to their destruction, the Asek, the Sitna, the hatred. But the third well represents the third Beis HaMikdash that should be built, Dimheira B'Yameinu, that will be built. And when it comes to that third Beis HaMikdash, there will be no fights over it. And that is represented by its being called Rechovot, ample space, peace, tranquility. Klal Yisrael will be able to live without problems at that point, and there will be none of the Ummah Sa'olam, the other nations of the world, that will have the audacity to cause any harm to the Bayis Shlishi. We are now moving forward to number 4, where I'm Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yigimel. And the famous story, Rivka schemes to have Yaakov Avinu receive the bracha from Yitzhak instead of Esav. Esav was told, go out, hunt in the fields, told by Yitzhak, go hunt in the fields, bring me something to eat, a sumptuous meal, and I'll give you a bracha. Now Rivka sees we need to get Yaakov in there, let Yaakov get the bracha quickly, then flee for his life. But it can't be Esav that is going to receive these brachas. But Yaakov was nervous about this. What if I'm caught? I can be cursed for it. I can be punished tremendously. And he had his concerns with reason. And his mother, Rivka, tried to calm him down. And he says, if anything happens, if you're cursed, it's on me. I'll take it from you. I'll bear the brunt of it. So this is Vort number 4. The pasuk says as follows, Alai kililascha bini. The curse will come on me. If anything happens, don't worry, it's on me. Achshma b'koli. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Go get some food, animals, I'll prepare it for your father, and we'll dress you up, we'll put the skins on your arms, we'll give you Esau's clothing so you stink like he does, and you'll be able to go in, and you will be able to receive the bracha. So Rivka saying as follows, very interesting, the word alai, that's going to be our focus right now. She is saying to him, alai kililascha. She knows that the big klalos that Yaakov will be having in his life are represented in the remez of the letters Ayin, Lamed, Yud. Your problem, she is saying to her son, is Alai, which represents Esav, your brother. He's the problem. He's a real problem. He'll always be a problem for you. Lamed is Lavan, your future father-in-law, Lavan. He's going to be a problem for you also. And number 3, of your future son, the Yud is Yosef. Those three are going to cause you a lot of tsuris. But what she's saying is you will have no punishment. You will have no tsuris from taking this bracha. It's not on your list. It's not on your list of forecasted problems, because that is limited to alai klilascha. Alai is something that you will have. But anything more than that, I'll take anything more, because I know there's going to be nothing more than that. You will not feel any klala from going and taking the brachas. And fast forward, fascinating, when Yaakov Avinu is approached by the brothers, we need to take Binyamin. The brothers went down, they went to Yosef. Yosef pretended to not recognize them. He was the viceroy of Mitzrayim. And he says, bring your youngest brother, that's Binyamin. So the brothers now approach their father and say, we have to bring Binyamin if you want any more food. And this is Bereishis, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Yaakov says as follows, Alai hayu kulana. The same word, Alai ayin lamed yud. And what he's saying here, says the Gra, is Alai, I already had my allotted tzuris. I had my tzuris from Esav, that's the ayin. I had my tzuris from Lavan, that's the lamed. My tzuris from Yud is Yosef, but Binyamin is not on my list. And here, why are you asking me for Binyamin as well? I'm not supposed to have any tzuris from him. So why are you asking to take him away and cause me tzuris that is not on my list that I was told by my mother, Rivka? She said, a lie is your tzuris. And here I'm saying, I already had a lie. And here you brothers, my dear sons, are trying to take Binyamin and expand the list of my tzuris. A beautiful explanation by the Gra. Now we are moving forward to number five. We are in Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Chav Beis. Yitzchak, when he feels Yaakov pretending to be Esav. So he didn't figure it out, but he saw something is amiss here. So he says as follows, Vayomer HaKol Kol Yaakov Ayadai Mide Esav, the famous pasuk, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esav. You sound like Yaakov, but certainly the hairy arms and the smell of the clothing, that's like Esav. So there's a medrash that says as follows, Bizman shakol kol Yaakov nishma bebate knesios ubebate midrashos, at the time that the voice is heard of Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov tfila is heard in shuls and base medrash, the learning in base medrash, ein hayadayim yidei Esav sholtos bachem. At that point, the hands of Esav will not overcome us. In other words, as long as we're learning and davening and shul in the base medrash, that is when we will be supreme and Esav will not overcome us. But when we are weak in those areas, that's when Esav has the opportunity to triumph. And the question is as follows, that is not what the pasuk says. This is another beautiful gra. The pasuk says, Vayomer HaKol Kol Yaakov, when the voice is the voice of Yaakov, the Yadayim are the Yadayim of Esav. It doesn't say when the kol is of Yaakov, then there will not be the hands of Esav. It says when you have the voice, you have the hands. And the Midrash seems to be saying the exact opposite. When you have the voice, Esav will not have the hands to conquer you. So that's the question. So the Gra explains it beautifully as follows. If you look at the word, Vayomer HaKol Kol Yaakov, HaKol is spelled Chaser. It's not spelled with the Vav. It's Hey Kuf Lamed. It's should have been with a vav, kuf vav lamed, and it's kuf lamed. And the Gra says as follows, when we are hakol, as it's written in the pasuk, that it doesn't have the vav, that our voices are weak. We don't have the full voice. We're not giving it our best in our davening. We're not giving it our best in our learning. Or maybe we're not even showing up to the shul in the base medrash. That's when we're shvach. That's a kol without the vav. At that point, because we are lacking in the kol, that's when Hayadayim Yedei Esav, the hands of Esav, will triumph against us. On the other hand, when we fill in the Vav, when it's a full kol, Kuf Vav Lamed, and we have strength in our davening, we have strength in our learning, we're attending the shuls, we're attending the Batei Medrash, that's when we have our full kol, that is when we will be successful, we will be triumphant, and on the other hand, Esav will be failing. So that's a beautiful explanation by the Gra. And last, number six, we are in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel. V'lo hikiro, says that Yitzchak could not recognize Yaakov, ki ayo yadav ki de Esav, because his hands were like the hands of Esav, achiv seiros, and they were hairy, v'yevarcheihu. And accordingly, it says Yitzchak gave Yaakov a bracha, thinking that it was Esav. Now, this Sforno asks as follows, this doesn't seem to make sense. What is this bracha here? Because the bracha is not given right now. The bracha, the beautiful bracha that's given to Yaakov, is later on. Not this pasuk, because after this pasuk, there's a whole bracha, and it says, and he gave a bracha, and this is the bracha. So when it says, v'yavercheyu, what is this bracha? It's like a pre-bracha that's being given. What's this bracha that Yitzchak is giving to Yaakov at this point, because the real bracha came later? So the Sforno answers as follows, that based on a chazal, there's a Gemara in Bracha, Islam and Aleph, that says, achosher es chaveiro, if you have suspicions of somebody, incorrect suspicions of somebody, b'masha einbo, you thought somebody did something wrong and he really didn't. You were suspicious of somebody that he did an aveira, but he wasn't the person. You thought somebody did X, Y, and Z, and he did something correct and was doing a mitzvah. Whatever it may be, achosher begufo, right? He was choshed b'samah, achosher b'ksherim, and he didn't do it, sarich levarcho, you have to give him a bracha. And accordingly, right now where we have Yitzhak Avinu, that he was choshed, that this is not his son, he was choshed, this is Yaakov. Yaakov is fraudulently coming, trying to get the bracha, he was choshed by Yaakov, and now he was convinced that because he smells like Esav, and his hands are hairy like Esav, that this is really Esav and not Yaakov, so he was choshed b'ksherim, and this is in Yitzchak's mind, it really, he had it right, it was Yaakov, but he's thinking now, I thought it was Yaakov, and it's not really not Yaakov, it's Esav, I have to give this person in front of me because I was suspicious of him. Chazal say, you have to give him bracha, and accordingly, this pre-bracha that he gave is because he was choshed him, and only thereafterward did the real bracha happen. And that explains why in this pasuk it says that he didn't recognize him, and because but his hands were hairy, so he was convinced now that this is really Esav, not Yaakov. V'yavarcheihu, we had to give a bracha because he was choshed b'ksherim. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.